Okay, so we're starting to give Mamad Aleph. I want to just like look back for a second on Tani Beis and Beis just to give ourselves a springboard to remind ourselves of where we are. So if you look on Tani, we're not going to read all of it inside, but if you look on Tani Beis and Beis, five lines from the bottom of the skinny lines actually. The end of the line was Am Rav Yanai Bechabur Ninu Vagamru and Kedushin Tovsin Beyavama. Right, so he said, be paskin that if a Yavama, a woman is a shomer, you know, she's supposed to go marry her Yavam, and she doesn't. She goes ahead and she tries to make kedushin with a man who tries to be mekadesh her, so it's not going to work, right? And basically, Yochanan says back to Rebbe, that's our Mishnah. And we have a Mishnah like that already, right? Because we had a Mishnah that says, if a person says to a woman, Hare mekadeshes li la'achar she'ezgari la'achar she'ezgari la'achar she'ezgari, right, that basically, you're mekadeshes to me after you become Jewish, after I become Jewish, after I become freed from being a slave, or you become freed. But the most important part was when it says, La'acha she'yachlos leich yavamech. Right, so he says that, Hare mekadeshesli, after your yavam does chalitz on you. So la'alach is eina mekadeshes. So they want to say, oh, this is the same concept, right? That why? Because kedushin is not tofes b'yavama. Right, why is it that he says that if he says you're mekudeshes to me after your yavam does chalitz on you, meaning at that moment when he said it, she was a yavama, right? So that's any mekudeshes. So and so then he responds to him, yeah, but if you know if I hadn't told you this, you know, if I hadn't mentioned this concept to you, you wouldn't have known that that's what this mission was talking about. But the bottom line is that the assumption is at this point that what the Gemara means, but Rish Lakish says, why are you assuming that this Mishnah is a proof at all, or you know, shows you this concept that there's no kedushin by Yavama? Maybe this Mishnah is the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Because what was Rabbi Akiva's sheet? Rabbi Akiva holds that kedushin is not tofes b'chai b'lavin, right? I mean, Rish Lakish basically says, "I'm like Rish Lakish, ilav the kalseich gaver rabba havaminalach ana masnisen Rabbi Akiva." I already told you this Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. The Amr in Kedushin Tovs Bechai V'Lavin, which is Rabbi Akiva before. And he holds that in general, anytime there's a Chai V'Lavin, there's no, it's not special, some special halacha when it comes to Yavama. I would have just said, this is Rabbi Akiva holds that there's no Kedushin at all by any Chai V'Lavin, right? No Kedushin if a Kohen marries a Grusha, etc. That's what I would have thought. So the Gemara says, but no, I wouldn't have said that anyways. You know why I wouldn't have said that? Because if this is really Rabbi Akiva actually would have paskin that this case would work, right? So that's what the Gemara says. No. Rabbi Akiva, ki ka'amala la'achach she'yachlots leich yivamich litiv siva kiddushay. Right, that's not true. I mean, according to Rabbi Akiva, the kiddushin actually would work. Right, if the guy says harem kiddushay after you get your chalitza from your yavam, so that kiddushin should actually work. Why is that? Because we have another sheet of Rabbi Akiva which we have to employ here, which is the hashamin le Rabbi Akiva the amar adam makne davar shlabal olam. Rabbi Akiva holds that a person can make a kinyan on something that hasn't yet come into existence, right? This non, now go back to Tzadik Gimel Aleph, as the Mishnah says, Konam Shani Osa Leficha Ein Tzarech Lahafer, right? If we mentioned this case before last time, that if a woman says, I take a neder, that you are forbidden to any of my Maisi Adayim, basically, right? That she says, if I make money, you can't get any of it, which is typically not correct, because typically the husband is entitled to the Maisei Dayim because he's required to pay for her mizonos in general. So in that case, the Mishnah says, Ein Tzarech LaHafer, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yefer. You know, he does have to make hafaras nedarim. He has to undercut the nether. Why? Shema Tadif Alav Yosem Min HaRoy Lo, because maybe she's to make more money than he's providing for her, in which case she would actually have otherwise had to give it to him. Otherwise she wouldn't have had to give it to him. And so when she makes that nether, she really is... there's something real there that she otherwise wouldn't have had to give to him. But the point is that this is money that hasn't yet been earned. Right? And since it's money that hasn't yet been earned, it's a davar shel bala olam. So Rabbi Akiva holds clearly that davar shel bala olam, adam kona davar shel bala olam, or adam makne davar shel bala olam. Right? The person can give over something that hasn't yet been produced yet, hasn't come into the world yet. So if that's true, then the point is, even if that's correct, then you can't make the argument that this other Mishnah, right, about Harim Gideshli Achi Yachlots, or Lech Yivamech, if you say that's Rabbi Akiva, it's actually not going to work, right? Because Rabbi Akiva holds Adam Makna Devar Shalabal Olam. So this idea of saying that I would have thought this mission is Rabbi Akiva because Kedushin is not Tovis B'chai V'lavin, no, it can't be because Rabbi Akiva holds Adam Makna Devar Shalabal Olam. So that's where we stopped last time, but we're going to continue that conversation. So the Gemara says, no, I'll give you an answer. So it says the Gemara, Ha'itmar Allah, no, I'll tell you what we say about this case. Am Rav Huna Beid Rav Yoshua Be'omeris Yekadshu Yadai Lo'oseihem De'adayim Isnu Ba'ama. No, what happened in this case? In this case, she didn't say Kodam Shani Ose Leficha, right? She didn't just say in general, you don't get the my Ma'asei Yadayim. That's not what she said. She said Yekadshu Yadai Lo'oseihem, my hands themselves, right, are going to be, you know, Hekdesh to the one who made them, meaning to the Ribono Shalom. And meaning I'm giving the money, I'm giving whatever I make with my hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not to you. But the point being, the language of Yadai is it turns it all of a sudden into something physical, something that's there. Her hands are currently present. And therefore it's not considered a Davar Shel Bal Olam, because she, if you use that language, you're using the language that refers to something that's already in existence. You know what I'm saying?
Even though she didn't do it yet.
Even though she didn't do it yet. But she's saying, my hands are, right, we call it Maisi Yadayim, right? So that my hands already are hektish or whatever. So the point being that she's saying her hands don't belong to her husband. But obviously, the things that she's referring to are going to be things that don't exist yet. But as long as she uses the language of my hands, which are existing now, that's why it's not considered a Davar Shel Bal Olam. And that's why in this case, Rabbi Akiva had said she has to be made, you know, he should be made for the nether, because it's something that's actually Bal Olam already, in which case you don't have a proof. Rabbi Akiva holds on the Machin Davar Shel Bal Olam, in which case Rabbi Akiva could take this mission from before, could taka be the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that ain't Kiddushin Tovus B'chayvei Lavin, and that's the reason why there's no Kiddushin in the case of, Acha Shiachal Tzalech Yivimich. Fine. But the Gemara says, but just know, Upliga, this opinion, right? This opinion of Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua about Rabbi Akiva is going to argue with a lot of people. Okay, Upliga the Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, the Am Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Rav Huna. And this argues with the opinion of Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, who said the following. He said like this: Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, the Am Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Rav Huna Kerav, Uverav Kerabi Yanai, Verabi Yanai Kerabi Chia, Verabi Chia Kerabi, Verabi Kerabi Meir, Verabi Meir Kerabi Elazar Ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Akiva, Da Amar, Adam Makna Davar Shel Bal Olam. Okay, so according to all these individuals, this is not a, the language here using the Gemara is ke, like they hold like, but really what it means is, it's a mesora, it's a chain. Look at Rashi says, Upliga de Rav Nachman, this is our third skinny line in Rashi, Upliga de Rav Nachman, Ha de Ukimna de Rabbi Akiva, Ein Adam Makna Davar Shel Bal Olam, right? This opinion that Rabbi Akiva actually holds that person cannot be Machan Devar Shel Bal Olam, that argues with the following. Rav Kerafuna, sorry, Rafuna Kerav, Klomar Meirav, right? Rafuna Kerav doesn't mean like Rav, it means like Rav, his Rebbe, right? He got it from Rav. Shehu Rabbe, Kible, Kibla, Varav, Meirav Yanai, Vechen Kulam, right? Zelamala Midoro Shel Zeh, Haya, right? Each one's coming, it's one generation to the next. The point being, like you say, Amr this, Amr this, Amr this, Amr this, right? They're all getting it from each other. Fine. But the point is that all of these Amorim all hold, right, that Adam Machin Davar Shel Bal Olam, that they hold, that does work. And they all say they hold like Rabbi Akiva. Right? So you're gonna tell me an answer to explain that that's not true, Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold Davar, you know, that ain't Adam Machin Davar Shel Bal Olam? That's against all of these opinions. And the Gemara is now going to go through each and every one of these Amorim and how you know that they held Adam Machin Davar Shel Bal Olam. Okay, that a person can acquire something that hasn't yet come into existence. And here we go. Rav Huna, Mahi. Rav Huna, what do you mean Rav Huna? When did Rav Huna say such a thing? The Itmar. The following case. Hamocher peros dekel lechavero. Person, sells the fruit of a tree, fruit of a palm tree, to his friend. Am Rav Huna, ad shel bal olam, yachol lachzer bo. Mishabo la olam, ein yachol lachzer bo. So a person sells the fruit of a tree before the fruits have been produced. They still haven't come out of the tree. Right? So it says Rav Huna, if they haven't yet arrived, right? There's no fruits yet, so a person can still be chozer. A person can go back on his word and change the deal, you know, take it back. But once the fruits come into existence, now he can no longer renege. Why? Because that was the deal he made. Yeah, but those things didn't exist yet. So what do you see? He holds Adam Machna Davar Shel Ba'olam, right? Because he was willing, able to sell something that hadn't yet come into existence. And Rav Huna says, once they exist, he can't go back, right? So you see that Rav Huna holds Adam Machna Davar Shel Ba'olam. He thinks a person can sell something that hasn't yet come into existence.
There's also an expectation that the fruits will come from the tree. We're also assuming that the woman is eventually going to earn something.
Correct. That's right. True. And then maybe that's part of the understanding right. of Adam Machna Davar Shel Ba'olam. It's not, it's Lo Ba'olam right now, but it is something you could expect to happen.
Right.
But nevertheless.
You don't expect that with the woman working, though. Meaning, like, she's
why? She's going to work. She has a job. So I can expect her to make a paycheck. You know, we all have those expectations, right? If I have a job, you know, everyone has a job, they expect to get paid.
But the example right? here of, like, the fruit coming from the tree, that's, like,
it's lo bala olam in the sense that it doesn't. You're saying the money is okay, in someone's it's in yeah. someone's bank account, right?
Yeah, it's, but you can assume that it's gonna. I mean, you see a fruit tree, you imagine that
it's gonna right. But it's still, it doesn't exist yet. The question is, can I make a kinyan
no,
on something that hasn't yet come my way, right. and now say, and it doesn't really exist anywhere in a certain sense,
right.
and say I'm gonna give that to you.
Right.
Give what to you? All transactions depend on kinyanim, and I've acquired something, right? Exactly. That's exactly the question, right? But the bottom line is that Rav Huna says it works, right? Rabbi Nachman Amar Af Mishabo LaOlam Yachalach Zabo. Right? Rabbi Nachman says, yeah, even once they show up, even once the trees start to produce the fruits, I can still go back on my word, right? And Am Rav Nachman Modina Di Ishamit VaAchil Lo Mafkina Minei. Rav Nachman just adds that, by the way, I still agree that if the person the buyer would take the fruits off the tree and eat them, then you wouldn't take them back from him. That's a separate point here, but the understanding of the Rishon was that the reason that is because even though he didn't officially make a kinyan, meaning when you, according to Rav Nachman, when the owner sold the fruits to the buyer, it actually didn't work, right? But they thought that it would, right? That's why they made the deal, right? So they assumed that was what's going to happen. So when he takes it off and he eats it, we assume that the owner is mochel. Right, you assume that he agrees in that case. But the bottom line is that Rav Nachman otherwise would hold that until even once the fruits show up, since you made the deal before there any fruits existed, the deal's off, or you can at least go back from the deal at that point. But Rav Huna says no. Once the fruits exist, you can't because other machna devar shel ba'olam. Okay, next, Rav. Right. So how do I know Rav? The Amr Rav Huna Amr Rav, because Rav Huna said in the name of Rav the following. So what's the case? The guy says, person says, this field that I am about to purchase, right? When I purchase it, and now it belongs to me, you're going to make a kinyan on it. Then immediately it's going to belong to you, right? And it's going to belong to you from now. I mean, this moment now, I don't own it. But as soon as I do whatever I need to do to make a kinyan, I walk around it three times. I sign the shtar, whatever it is that I do to make the kinyan. Once I do that, then it belongs to you immediately. So he says that works again. A deal that was made before he ever made the kinyan, right? So by the way, that's what's interesting is that davar shel lo bala olam. He doesn't mean it doesn't exist in the world. The field's sitting there, right? The point of though is that I don't own it yet. So it hasn't. But the more important part is that something that hasn't come yet to me, something that I don't own yet, and nevertheless it works. So you see, Rav holds the Machna Davar Shel Ba'olam. Okay, next, Rabbi Yannai. How do I know Rabbi Yannai holds this way? Ki Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yannai ki Rabbi Chia. The Rabbi Yannai. So how do I know Rabbi Yannai holds like Rabbi Chia? The Rabbi Yannai havalei arisa. Rabbi Yannai had a sharecropper, and aris is a person who works in your field, and technically the field belongs to the owner, and the sharecropper works in the field and takes care of the field and does all the work, and then they get a high percentage of the produce, and they give a certain percentage to the owner, right? So it's a worthwhile, depending on the percentage, it's worthwhile for the owner. He owns the field and gets to get some of the produce, doesn't have to do any of the work. But the aris is the person who doesn't own it at all, but works in the field almost like he's the owner, and he does all the work. So what happened? There was an aris, there was a sharecropper, davin maisi lei kansa de pire, kol mali shapsa. So he would show up, and he would bring Rabbi Yannai a basket of fruit every Erev Shabbos. Okay, ahu yoma nagale. One Erev Shabbos he was late. Right, Rashi says nagale shaha yosem mizmano. he came later than he was supposed to. It's Erev Shabbos. Okay. Velo Asa, and he hadn't come yet. So it's almost going to be Shabbos, and the sharecropper hasn't shown up yet. And what's the problem? The problem is that if the fruits arrive on Shabbos, so the Rabbi Yana is not going to be able to take Trumas and Maestros from it before Shabbos starts. And in order to eat them, he has to have removed, you know, Trumas and Maestros. So Shakal Aser Mipire Debese Alahu. So what did he do? So he said, I'm going to take some fruit in my that I currently have in my house. I'll separate that off as Trumas and Maestros, and it'll count for the fruit that the sharecropper brings on Shabbos. Okay, what's the problem? He hasn't brought in the fruit yet. He doesn't own that fruit. Right? So he's going to show up with that fruit, but he doesn't yet own that fruit. So how can I take, it's one thing, a person can take Trumas and Maestros from one item and have it, you know, in place of the Trumas and Maestros from the other item. That you can do. But that has to be food that you own. Right? Here, he didn't have it yet. It didn't come to him yet. So how does that work? So he did that. So Asla Kamei, so Asla Kamei did Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Yana came to Rabbi Chiya to ask him, did I do the right thing? So Amalei, Shapir about it, you did the right thing. You did what you did was fine. Desanya, Laman Silma Leiras Hashem Lakecha Kol Hayamim Elu Shabbosiv Yom Tovim. Because the pasuk says that a person should learn to have Yiras Shemayim, etc. All of your days. What do you mean Kol Hayamim? So that refers to even Shabbos and Yantiv. So the pasuk means to say you should have Yiras Shemayim even on Shabbos Yantiv. So you're going to say, well, what does that pasuk have to do with taking Trumas and Maestros from something that hasn't shown up yet? So what purpose is this? What halacha exactly are we learning from this pasuk? Look at Rashi. Rashi says l'may hilchasa u'ma asa krala azure. What is the pasuk coming to teach me? You told me a pasuk. Have your shemayim. That's wonderful. What does it have to do with this din? So ilay mala asure u'meichal. And if it comes to teach me that a person in general should take, that person's allowed to take Trumas and Maestros on Shabbos or Yantif, right? It's your chrala mishrei tiltul derabanan. Right? This that din is a din derabanan. Right? Look at Rashi. Rashi says v'ine ma'asri b'shabsa u'meichal, that I can take Maestros on Shabbos. V'isrich lashminan da'af agav the Shabbosu mitaknan. Right? If you want to tell me, even though it's Shabbos, I'm allowed to fix. Basically fix this basket of fruit, right? Pshita, that's obvious. The point being, the whole point is that this is only dindar rabbanan, that it's us to fix, you know, fruits, you know, by taking Trumas and Maestros on Shabbos. That's that whole isser is an isser derabbanan. So you can't have that pasuk in the Torah telling me that an isser derabbanan is permissible, right? Hafreshes Maestros b'Shabbos in ele b'shum shuas. We only don't allow it because as an isser derabbanan. Right, so that whole din was only a din derabanan. It doesn't make any sense for the pasuk to come teach me something that was already always mutter according to the Torah. A little bit of a fancy way of just saying that this whole thing was only asur derabanan in the first place. So there's no reason to you can't have a pasuk telling me now that something that the Chazal asur is really mutter. Okay, so what's going on here? At a love. So rather, what's going on? Teaching us this halacha. Look at Rashi. The mutal la'aser al mashal lo bala olam va'aser la volat tzorech onik Shabbos. No, so what it means to teach me is it's a pasuk coming to teach me that if it's almost Shabbos and you want to be able to take Trumas and Maestros, if the item isn't there yet, you can still do it in order to make sure you have what to eat on Shabbos. So it's interesting because you might have argued again if it was mutter to separate the Trumas and Maestros on Shabbos. I don't need the pasuk to teach me that I need to do this in preparation for Shabbos. I wouldn't have thought that I couldn't do it on Shabbos. But I guess the point being that it's the din in general. It's not the din by Shabbos. It's the din in general that I could take Trumas and Maestros of an item that I haven't yet acquired because of Adam Machna Devar Shalbalo. Fine. But the point is that Rabbi Chiya said to him, what you did was the right thing. So Rabbi Chiya says to Rabbi Yanai, that was correct that you did that. So he says back to him, so Amalei, Vaha Akiryon Bechalma Kana Rotzutz. But it's funny, he says, I had a dream, right? I had a dream, Rashi says, Leil Shabbos Haya, Akiryon Bechalma, it was Friday night, and I had a dream. And what was the dream? The dream was about a Kana Rotzutz. What's a Kana Rotzutz? A Kana Rotzutz is like a weak limb, a weak, like, you know, stick or something. Point being, that's like a, you know, something that could easily break. So I had a dream about that. So my law. So what? His question was like, what's the vision? That vision of that you know weak stalk, you know, coming to teach me. So my love, hachika amrili, he named by tats, because it's other times that the Torah, the Navi talks about kana ratzitz. So what is it referring to? This pasuk. The pasuk says he named by tachet alcha amish enes hakana haratzitz hazeh. But you basically relied on leaning on this very weak stalk, which if you lean on, what's going to happen? It's going to break. You're going to fall over, right? That the Navi was saying you should rely on Hashem, right? Don't rely on this this weak thing. But point being, you're relying. Maybe it means I'm relying on a weak svara, right? Look at Rashi. My love, hinei batachta. Rashi says, "V'lav shapir about it." But maybe Hashem's telling me that I made a mistake. I relied on a bad explanation. And that was the wrong thing to do. So he says, "No, lo hachikar amachad." It's a different pasuk. It's a different pasuk in Yeshayahu that says, "Kana ratzutz lo yishbor upishta keya lo yichbena." Right? That even a weak, you know, this weak stalk won't break. Right? And the point being that what he was arguing, what he's saying is, what he was saying to you is that you did the right thing. Right? No, it's talking about this pasuk that it's really the right thing to do. Rashi says, "Kana ratzutz lo yishbor sefer the kra la emes yotzi mishpa." The pasuk there ends, and the truth comes out in judgment. Right? Meaning to say that you did the right thing. Right? The shapir about it, that you did the right thing. So don't worry about it. What you did was fine, and the Ribbono Shel Olam was not sending you a message that you messed up. Really, what you did was correct. Okay. How do you know what Hashem meant? I don't know. But I guess the point being, I think this is the psak. So you did the right thing. You're okay. You have a pasuk either way, but he's saying, I think you did the right thing. So I'll read it. You know, basically, I'll read your dream as that way again. So a whole different child has this to do. What do dreams matter? Do we rely on dreams? For a different year, for a different time. Fine. Fine. So let's do one more. Rebbe. So how do I know that Rebbe holds? Adam machna davar shabbat. Olam desanet. The because we have it in Braisa. Lo taskir eved el adonav. In general, you're not supposed to be maskir eved to his master. Okay. Rebbe Omer. What are we talking about? What's this referring to? Belokeach eved amanas. The shacharo hakasuv medaber. This pasuk means to tell me is that a person should acquire eved with the condition that he's going to free him. Okay, hey chidami, what does that refer to? I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. The kasuv lay likeshekachacha harei atzmecha kanyu lacha me'ashchav. What is it referring to? A case where a person would say, as soon as I acquire you, you're free to go. Right, so that type of kinyan is what the pasuk is teaching me not to do. Okay, but what's the point? The point is that Rebbe holds that if I would do that, it would work. And if I would acquire someone and say, when I acquire you right now, you become free. Well, I didn't acquire him yet. It's a davar shel balolam. So what you see is, you see that Rebbe holds, a person can be machna davar shel balolam. Fine. You know what? Okay, let's stop here, and we'll pick up tomorrow.